You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. We're coming up to almost the end of our show for the day. Just one more thing. It's the weekly international segment, and today I'm sending you to Cuba with a report on the super recent vote on a new constitution. Cubans were invited to vote by referendum for a new constitution on Sunday local time, a first since 1976. An estimated 80% of the 8.7 million eligible voters cast their votes around the country. The official results should be announced at a press conference, which will take place in about an hour. And even though there are no exit polls in Cuba, citizen observations of the counts seem to indicate a clear trend in favor of the new constitution. Local and foreign observers predicted around 70 to 80% of the ballots will be yes votes, but this would be a significant decrease compared to the 98% positive votes that ratified the current constitution back in 1976. When Fidel Castro stood down as Cuba's leader in 2008 and his brother Raul took over, it seemed a perfect opportunity for change. And a lot has happened in Cuba in the past 10 years. Travel in and out of the island was made easier with the end of the travel ban. The communist country even introduced elements of a market economy, opening up to foreign capital, encouraging private initiatives, and reducing its public sector. Cubans are now allowed to buy and sell cars and real estate, rent out rooms, and the internet access has been expanded. But while the renewal of ties with the United States under Barack Obama's second term gave hope to the younger generation of Cubans, the Cold War-inspired stance of Donald Trump and the reinstatement of the embargo against the island has somewhat stalled the reforms. Raul Castro stepping down in March last year and his replacement by current President Miguel Díaz-Canel wasn't much of a breath of fresh air either. Even though Díaz-Canel was not part of the 1959 revolution, his politics align with that of the Castro brothers. The president has no intention of second-guessing the communist nature of the regime, and he's usually quick to denounce American imperialism. Far from revolutionary, the government-drafted constitution, if adopted, will name the Cuban Communist Party the supreme political force of state and society and declare Cuba will never return to capitalism. Opposition political parties would still not be allowed, leaving the Communist Party all-powerful. Yet some rules would be loosened. In the political area, a prime ministerial post would be introduced, and there would be a limit of 2 terms per president. However, the impact of those reforms in a single-party state feels pretty limited. Other changes are trying to carry on the move initiated in 2011 towards a market economy and show signs of good faith to those yearning for more. The new constitution offers to fully recognize a right to private property, a first since the 1959 revolution. Until now, only forms of collective ownership were accepted. The document also mentions a right to legal representation upon arrest. It is uncertain, though, whether this will be enough to appease the recent calls for more advanced reforms. The original version of the draft was published in July last year and was followed by months of community meetings and debates convened by the government. In a country without independent media and opinion polls, such opportunities for confrontation of views are pretty rare. But Cubans have never been more exposed to the outside world and a range of views as they are now. Thanks to the removal of the exit permit, more and more Cubans travel outside their borders, and about 2/3 of the island's citizens have access to the internet. Social media actually played a crucial part in the campaign and helped organize those against the constitution. Cuban dissidents and the anti-Castro diaspora abroad have been quite vocally opposed to the proposed text, but the toughest opposition might have come from the religious community. Both the Roman Catholic Church and the evangelical community have expressed a fierce opposition, especially in regards to the introduction of an article on marriage as the union of two people, which had some believe it opened the door to gay marriage. The article has since been removed, although the government claims it had nothing to do with the protestations. No surprises should be expected when the official results come in a few moments. the 2019 Constitution will be approved, but its existence enabled voices to express themselves more freely and showed the Cuban people is more divided than it has probably been in the last 60 years.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.